Hey, Snabberdino.
Well, last night there was a council meeting.
Boy, was there.
Let's just get right into this because I have there's a big long list of things to talk about. But first of all, so I want to tell you, I'll tell you what I have on my list and you can tell me what you want to talk about first, okay? We've
Okay.
got the dead kitty delivery. We've got the fake veto on animal shelter possibility. We've got the Brown Act violation by one. We've got the apartment building hullabaloo. The attack on women, John's attack on women, that is, and the aftermath. And then, so definitely the police salary accidental vote. So, what do you want to start with?
Let's talk about the cat. Let's talk about the little kitty.
The dead kitty delivery. All
That,
right.
I've never seen that one before, but I think, such a eye-opening moment when, because,
It is dramatic.
it was super dramatic. But you know what? They don't when you put weight to your decisions. You know, the animal shelter is giving out sick animals, and this has been a
Yeah.
complaint for over a year now. And this kitten is just one more example of the lack of management, the lack of care that the police department's Lieutenant McCumber is giving in his role.
Yeah.
And,
And
go ahead.
it's sad that they are giving animals this way, there's a lot of children that go and to the animal shelter and pick a little furry friend and whatnot. And then it's traumatic for some kids. It's not
Oh, yeah.
okay.
Well, when they distemper, they had an outbreak of distemper and didn't want to tell anybody about it.
Yeah.
And it's like, you can go in and visit an animal and get distemperment, like on your shoes, walk it home and kill your own pets.
Yeah. And so let's just explain to folks why it's like this. And part of the reason is because we've got a police department. Is it Captain? Is he, what is he?
Lieutenant.
David Green.
Captain.
So David Green from the police department, who, by the way, kills animals on duty. So this is not a person that's really going to care about your cat, right? So aside from that, it's not funded adequately. It's just completely ignored. It's been for ever since John was elected, the animal shelter has really been on the back burner. He's just trying everything he can to get rid of it. And it this, you know, the dead kitty delivery is really tied in with the fake veto on the animal shelter, which they voted to not fund the animal shelter.
Right.
And so he goes, "Oh, I can veto that." But that's just for the cameras, people. He's not going to veto it. That's exactly what he wanted to happen. And that's exactly what he got. And now we're going to, who knows where he's going to try to outsource it to and whatnot. But I saw the, you were there, you saw it in person, and you saw, everything that happened with the woman with the dead cat, the dais. But
Yeah.
for me, I was like, I'm a big fan of The Godfather. So I was like, oh my God, first it's dead kitties, next it's a horse's head and the dead fish, you sleep with the fishes, Luca, kind of thing. That's what it feels like. It's like starting to take place here.
Yeah, they're definitely
People
sending
are
a
wanting him to
message.
know.
Okay, yeah, but you know what? This is, it's the look on his face, utter shock, and then I think just to discuss that somebody would approach him, that somebody would call him out for his decisions, and this really has been the mayor's battle with the public because he's pushed so hard to destroy the shelter in the hopes that it will be outsourced. So I was
Yeah.
part of that lady. My heart ached for her, and I think it's just it really gave a narrative, like a watch it and see what happens for the community that doesn't quite understand what the volunteers and the nonprofits are dealing with at the animal shelter right now.
My 16-year-old daughter told me that small kittens need a lot of attention. So they need constant feeding and care that their mother, you know, is not there. They can't give them. So they do need extra care and stuff. And so they do, the shelter needs to really reach out and get volunteers if they can. They need to just reach out for help, and they don't do that. I mean, they just ignore it. It's just being ignored. And I can't, you know, I just feel sorry for those poor animals. I mean, it's just not a good situation down there.
No. It's really sad, and it's not going to get better. And this kind of leads into the decision not to fund the department, which I was shocked at. I understand, because I think there's a better way of this going down, but nobody offered any alternative. They just said, no, we're not going to create a director.
Yeah. And they don't have, like with everything else, mm-hmm. There's no plan. There's just no plan. There's no strategy about what they're going to do. You know, everything is a la brava, and it's not working. None of that is working. So I don't know what's going to happen with the animal shelter, but it's the saga continues on that one.
As always, into the election. And this is the thing that frustrates me with Sandra taking the helm on the department. All she's asked for continuously is getting PD out from under the animal shelter. Okay. That's going to take creating a department. That's fine. We have an administrative services department. During the reorganization after the bankruptcy,
mm-hmm.
we created this. So technically in our city, we cannot afford a city manager and assistant city manager. We're too broke. So why not make the assistant city manager the actual deputy city manager / director of administrative services, and put that would be currently Rebecca Kramer, and put her as the director in the department. She's already making the salary, and then create a shelter manager that you wouldn't have to eliminate three positions for, and create
treasure.
The department.
Treasure. Stop it. You're making sense. Treasure. We can't do that. We can't do that, because that would be a viable solution.
Dang it.
Please understand. We have to only... These are people that can't, no, they can't do something good like that. It's got to be something that's going to fuck shit up even more. Get it together, girl.
I'm sorry. Yeah. It just comes to me. You know, that qualification just, it just rolls off my tongue. It hurts. It hurts.
Yeah, I know. But force yourself to be as dumb as they are. Come on, girl. No, that is definitely a viable solution that they will never consider, because you said it. I can't wait for you to be mayor. All right. You know, let's talk about really quickly, tied into those two things. There was, you know, I said that, you know, John said, you know, very smugly and fakely, I can veto that, right?
Right.
Like a big, you know, kid dumbass. So let's talk about the veto process.
Okay. Do you want to quote the charter on this?
Why don't you tell, first of all, let's tell people what it is and how it happens and whatever we know about it.
So a veto is the power to strike down a vote. And our charter allows the mayor to do that. Surprisingly enough, our charter allows the mayor to veto a vote that is... occurs with less than five voting members of the council agreeing. So a 4-2 vote can be shut down if there's a missing council member. A 4-3 vote, which is normally how the council's been voting, can be overturned.
Yep.
So unless there's almost a unanimous decision, the council the council's vote really doesn't mean anything.
Clearly not. And, you know, thank you, Phil Savage and Charter Killers from 2016. You know, this is one of the unintended consequences that I was screaming about when they were changing the charter. So, and now we're seeing how detrimental some of these changes really are. And that is absolutely not, when the mayor has that much power to veto what all of our representatives vote for, then that's not a city council, city manager run city.
Right. Absolutely.
Completely contradicts what we're supposed to be. But yeah, it's in the council manager form of government charter, allegedly. But so this was my issue with the charter. It was so poorly written, and with so many loopholes. So that is true. The mayor does have the power to override the votes. Most of the votes that we heard last night, he can veto.
Right. And then for the way he can do it is he just won't sign the resolution.
Yeah.
That's, you know, once the minutes or the agenda is approved and they put the minutes forward and they put all the resolutions together, he'll just reject it and that's it.
And we might not know about it for a while.
At least a week, because until the next agenda comes out, because they have to post the previous resolutions in the minutes. So, I mean, that's the thing. Like, we can all be waiting for something and then find out, hey, this isn't going to happen anyways, you guys.
Yeah, or we could be like, well, he said he was going to veto that, like he did last night with the animal shelter. And then we wait and we find out, oh, he didn't veto it. So he was okie-dokie-ness. You know, he does everything for the camera.
Oh, yeah. He could care less about the show.
Everything for the camera. In fact, I think we should rename him Mayor Narcissist. He really is just like for the show. Yep. So, all right. Let's talk about, do you want to talk about my favorite thing that happened last night?
Sure.
All right. So my favorite thing that happened last night was Juan Figueroa being a complete moron and violating the Brown Act and doing so with such a smug and cavalier kind of, like, you know, it doesn't take a physicist and it doesn't take a scientist to figure this out, answer the question. They're like, what the hell? First of all, you're not even on point or on topic. So what the Brown Act says is this: members of the city council have before them an agenda. Everything on the agenda is okay. You can talk about it. You can vote. You can make a motion to vote, to approve, to not approve. If it's on the agenda, you can talk about that issue. So for example, if the issue on the agenda is we are going to talk today about whether or not we want to have penalties for fireworks, which was actually the case last night. Now, we're talking about a very specific thing here, penalties for fireworks. Did nobody ask you, did you want to prohibit some other areas?
Right.
We're talking about penalties for fireworks. The people that are presenting on the agenda are there to talk about penalties for fireworks. They're not there so that you can give them a Google Earth lesson on how far, you know, point A is to point B. That's not, that they're not qualified to answer that, because that's not what they've studied to bring to you. They're right. Qualified to talk about the item on the agenda. So Juan leads the entire council down the road of completely breaking the law and starts talking about how he would vote and he wants to vote to prohibit and ban fireworks throughout the entire city. And then a couple of the other council members follow suit. They do the same and nobody stops them.
Right.
Nobody. Not John, not the city attorney. I don't know, does she fall asleep? What happens? Because that was a long conversation about something completely not on the agenda, but could be on a future agenda.
Right.
Because as you know, it comes up every year.
Well, that's
exactly. No one said anything and they kept going.
Yep.
And so that unfortunately had to be That had to be you know you've got to report stuff like that because people can't do that. But you know, it's also John is the one who's running the meeting, and he did not stop him. At some point, he made the determination that, oh shit, this is a Brown Act violation. We need to stop talking about this. It's not agendized. Mm-hmm. And so they did, but it was already too late. A couple of the other council members had already started giving their votes to prohibit and ban. So,
well,
you know,
can we,
now we know where people stand.
Talk about the fact that it looked like Juan had downed an entire tube of like cough syrup. He was so not himself last. I don't know if he was flustered because John.
So somebody said that to me too. They were like, "So was Juan drugged last night?"
He was.
Personally, in my opinion, I think Henry Nickel looked like he was on heroin. He was like dozing in. I shouldn't say that, but he did.
It was a mess. Like, well, I think Juan looked so uncomfortable because John made him the point. See, Teddy no longer follows 100% of the time. Bassine was MIA. Henry can kind of come in and out, and that pressure.
Can I just share my theory about Bassine?
Sure.
I believe that Bassine purposely, strategically avoided being at the meeting where they're going to talk about police salaries and whether or not they should fat gigantic race for killing people in the 6th ward and other wards throughout the city because her current ward is heavily Latino and Black.
Right.
And that bitch cannot go into a council meeting and vote for, you know, like, yeah, we want to give everybody raises because she's running for re-election. My theory is that she and John made a strategical, tactical decision to not have her present for that. And I think that's why she was not there.
Oh, absolutely. And you could see it. You could see in the decisions that John was ready to make. He already had his speeches prepared. Like, the whole apartment building thing, he came ready with this, you know, ladies and gentlemen kind of shit. And that tells you that stuff is already predetermined behind the scenes. Like, did someone hand you a check right before the meeting? Like how do you just pay off the mayor to get whatever you want? And he's like a walking billboard.
Yeah,
it's insane.
It's pretty bad. Anyway, so we'll see what happens with that investigation. Brown Act violations are usually taken pretty seriously. You know, mm-hmm. I think that. And this is not the first time they've done it. They do it all the time. Like, most of these people on the dais, including people that have been there for 20 fucking years, don't know what they're doing. They don't know how to run a meeting. They don't know how to behave in a meeting. They don't know any parliamentary procedure, rules, nothing. So this is what happens. You get people breaking the law on the dais.
Yes, but so. I have to, a point of order, a lot of point of orders last night. Like, Sandra was on a point of order. Fred was on point of order. I mean, they're getting it. It's not like the most sophisticated group, but John was getting really irritated last night.
I saw that. That was fun to watch. Okay, so you mentioned the apartment building.
Yeah.
So, and how that was like rehearsed and scripted and whatnot. So, and I believe you're right. And so there was people that were speaking on behalf of the neighborhood that this building was going to be built in. Something that happened during the conversation about the permitting and the, you know, the planning commission of this apartment building was that Sandra Ibarra was admonished for asking a question of the developer.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that?
Yes.
And she's admonished all the time. But I feel like she's picked on. Like, she's not the only one. You know, Teddy asks questions. And, you know, the whole bullshit from BB&K about you have to write your questions down and ask staff. Then why the hell are you bringing the developer here to speak?
Yeah.
If you can't ask a question.
It's a quasi-legislative hearing. Like, okay, so
yeah, and as a judge, you're allowed to ask a question of the right.
Why wouldn't you prep counsel beforehand and say, Okay, here, you're going to need to submit all questions in writing prior to this. So here's, you know what I mean? Like,
Except if you hear something.
then you should be able to ask a question. I didn't like that because, like what I appreciate most about Sandra is she asks the questions. You may be annoyed. You may be like, oh, but you know what? She wants the clarification. And she asked the good question is, why do you have to build 6 units in such a tight space? And they didn't want to let the guy answer and say, because I'm greedy and we're trying to maximize the amount of money we're going to make. And we could care less
Right.
about the neighborhood that it's in because what did
And
the mayor
you know what?
say?
The resident that spoke about the parking on that street is absolutely correct. That is going to be off the chain.
Oh, yeah.
Where are people going to park? There is you know where that area is, right?
At the ride share parking lot because they're all going to be on SB Direct. SBX. Like that.
Oh, not okay. I feel bad for the people that live there. That man said he was going to move out of San Bernardino. You know what?
You believe that they would sacrifice a homeowner for an unbuilt apartment complex that is in not in an area where there are apartment complexes where there's single family dwelling. Like, and you know what this all stems from? The fact that there's not a freaking general plan and nobody's protecting
Exactly.
general plan.
Were you wondering when the planning commission was talking about how, well, we got a plan for this and that, but what do you mean you got a plan? What are you planning on? Like, you don't have an actual general plan to know what's coming, what should be where, who should go this way and who should go that way. There's no plan. So how do you make decisions on permits? It's all just kind of like a big hodgepodge of buildings and permits all over the city.
And that's look, see, it's not accidental. This is on purpose, and John is benefiting from this purposeful lack of putting a general plan together. As long as the city doesn't have a layout, he can bring people in like he's been doing, developers and all this stuff, to come by, and it's already pre-zoned. Because during the general plan, we're probably going to look at rezoning portions of the city for mixed use, single use, industrial, commercial only, residential only, single family dwelling, R2. We're going to go through this entire process that's what, 15 years outdated. And
But
he.
it's there's but without a master plan, everything is going to be so discombobulated. I mean, it's already kind of like that in the city anyway. It's not like you can, there's no real good use of space in the city.
And that's how he's winning his agenda, especially for this development, the airport, this, that airport being a cargo airport is the biggest
Yeah.
loss to this city. It should have been commercial development should have bred. We could have been like Ontario, but this fool is out there trying to put containers and warehouses and the tiniest bit of economic growth. When we could have Frontier, Allegiant, like it's so wrong. It's so wrong. And he's just putting money in his pocket.
And it's really sad because I feel like all of this stuff, any more talk about any more building of anything needs to end. Like, what needs it? They got $3 million from Assembly Member James Ramos. What are they doing to put a plan together? They
So
should, those community town hall farce meetings, those political campaign pit stops, those meetings should really be. And you know what? I hope they're not using the 3 million toward that.
No, so they approved last night to receive the 3 million, and this caught me. I posted about this. So the community development guy was like, we need to put together a committee of the count each council member to appoint two people to this board that would meet. And John says, well, the mayor's office is going to have two representatives as well. We're going to be represented. I represent the city. And I'm going to, like, no. You're not going to put 14 representatives up there, and then John's going to go pick two more representatives and offset the representation of the wards. And he does not represent the city as a whole. He's a figurehead. That's it.
Exactly.
Like, he wants his people up there to keep doing what he wants them to do. Like, Why should the 7th or the 4th or 3rd have more representatives than the other wards? And that's
Exactly. Yeah, so that's going to be something that we really, really, really need to push for and hold them accountable. We've got to get that general plan.
Yes, we do.
10-year minimum. All right. So what did you think about? Well, let's talk about your favorite thing, the police salaries.
Oh, Jesus. That was amazing. First of all, the vote. And it was astonishing. They didn't like being called out. I want to say I and one other said it as true as it's not a requirement of the city to put the raise of the chief police chief out there. And then the city attorney and the city manager both said, yeah, they're not in this MOU you keep talking about. They don't. In the past, we did include it, but, and, okay, but it's a bit, and it failed. They couldn't make it work. And one,
Well,
and
I mean,
that,
the reality is, and if they're really going to look at other cities and how they do things and best practices, the chief of police, the city manager, any administrator, administrative, executive administrative role is not an MOU, is not an MOU classification. It's based, these people, these are folks that are on contract. And so as a contract as an employee as a contract employee, you don't have to include them in the actually they should not be included in the MOU. So and it was confirmed that they were not.
Yep. And
Which means that some council members were lied to.
yeah, oh yeah. Oh yeah. They said they were directly told by city management that they had to approve this. And it's in your agenda telling you don't have to approve this. You're not obligated to it. I said, how is Eric McBride or David Green going to sue the city for a position they don't hold for a salary they're not entitled to?
Exactly.
And they just
You
looked at
know, that was so let's talk about the vote.
me. Yep. You
Did that go down?
mean let's talk about Teddy and the you need to appoint not only give the raise, but you need to appoint McBride.
So what do you think happened? Do you think they just didn't understand what they were voting on? I was kind of confused about what the motion was as well.
No, they knew. They understood because, see, they couldn't be confused because they ended up separating. They ended up, or yeah, they ended up talking about it like broken down, broke it down. So they understood that they were not going to approve the raises. And they brought up a good point, which is where's the mid-year budget review? You know, the next month, we're halfway through the fiscal year. Where are we? And
That
we
was Sandra that brought that up.
Yes. So that's the truth is and that's why I understood her rationale for the animal shelter too. It's like, what does the budget tell us? We're at 6 months later, after in the last 6 months you've approved almost $2 million increase in the budget. So it's and
Just,
I
you know, to recap, the police salary increase was going to be quite a strain on the budget every year.
Oh, yeah. $60,000 because what they did is they said they're going to pull from the part-time dispatcher positions and I'm trying to figure out and then they had to add money. They had to reallocate funds into the police department. And here's what I don't get. Measure Z is sunsetting. Measure Z funds $8 million to our police department from taxes every year. San Manuel Indian Tribe gives the police department $4 million for police services every year. If either of those go away, which Measure Z is more than likely going to go away, what are they going to do?
Do you see that? I personally believe that the people of the city of San Bernardino will not renew Measure Z because they see that you're not getting anything for your money.
No, and especially after the horse show or dog and pony show last night with not wanting an assessment. So what I'm hearing is that members of the POA sent letters, and police management sent letters to the council members telling them not to allow this outside contracting assessment, because they know that anybody's going to come in here, first of all, and say, well, you're not even following your exit plan. You're way too top heavy. And they don't want to be told what to do. People don't understand the issue that we have right now with the lobbying that's going on with these two organizations, they don't care if they break us. They're going to get what they can get for a year, and then their people are leaving. We're losing 10 officers to retirement and transferring out in this last month and a half.
Wow.
And they're not telling anybody.
And we're like already like, you know, so behind in hiring and maintaining and sustaining the police force.
Yeah, but you know why? They know the writing's on the wall that this is going to continue and they're going to be outsourced. There's no way. Terry said it yesterday. The police department is over 65% of our budget. If you take out our liabilities that we are required to pay, the police department is 85% of our city budget.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it used to be that police and fire were 80% of the budget. Now it's just police.
Yep.
And we get nothing. We get nothing for it.
You get to die. You know, it's like
we get litigation and dog killers at the animal shelter.
Yeah, and lawsuits. You know, this city's going to pay for that lawsuit of that murdered person, and we have a SIR in place that makes the city liable for the first $1 million of every lawsuit. And that's coming out of our reserves.
Yeah, absolutely. Pretty bad. They voted down the raises.
Yep.
The vote failed. It pissed John the fuck off.
Oh,
after that, he was unhinged.
And he showed it, and he couldn't control it. But he showed his true colors, and it was pretty dang amazing.
But let's just warn the residents of San Bernardino that even though they did not vote to approve this, John has veto power over this matter as well.
Yes.
So if he vetoes this, he deserves to be recalled.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If he's willing to put this type of financial strain on the city to meet political promises, he's got to go.
Yeah. I think that if that happens, I think that's going to probably be the last straw, as it were.
Yep.
You know?
No, I do. And you know what? I went and spoke at closed session, and I asked for the council to approve the claims of Gigi Gary and Andrea. Except that John created a hostile work environment, and have him resign. Ask him to step down because he's become a liability to the city. And let's move forward. And it's you can see how his dealings have affected the city horribly. Like, people said it to me, and they're like, God, you're just on it. And it's like, you know why I stay on this? Because you watch it happen. Like, this isn't a person. I don't give a crap about John Valdivia, the person. What matters to me is Mayor John Valdivia of the city of San Bernardino is destroying the city of San Bernardino.
After that happened, and John was a hot mess, a visible hot mess.
Yes.
There were they voted on some other stuff.
He yelled at Terry.
The thing that stood out to me was hated Sandra, the way he went off on Terry, the city manager. And then, you know, to some degree, kind of just, you know, was all smug with the, you know, city attorney lady. So what did you think about that? First of all, I cannot help but notice that this shitty behavior of his is always directed toward women So yeah. My feeling is that he's a misogynist that doesn't, he cannot handle having to deal with women. And
he can't
I mean, he's an asshole to everybody, but there's a special kind of extra assholeness about him when it comes to dealing with women. Would you say?
John, like, if you notice, John likes to surround himself with women because he likes to be dominant. He does not like a strong woman to push. As soon as a woman challenges him, he becomes very abusive verbally. He becomes very abrasive, and that's he right. tries to put them in his place. And that's what a misogynist does. It's not that they're, you know, people are like, he can't be discriminating against a woman. He made Terry this. Yeah, because Terry was willing to do what he said, and then the moment she pushed back, you saw what he did, and he did it in front of everybody. Like, he told her.
That was, like, so unprofessional and so, I mean, egregious. Just, you know, like, telling her, you better look into it, because I said, and then, okay, so 5 seconds after the city attorney admonishes Sandra, because she asked the city manager to put something on the agenda, John does the same damn thing.
Then yeah.
He get admonished.
Yeah, I mean,
and then he goes off on Terry.
Berates her. Yeah, exactly. That's, you know, they look and they're like, well, it's about respect. And it's like, no, John is having a hissy fit right now. And mm-hmm. he's going to tell. And you know what? The only thing I was really proud of the city attorney for finally speaking up. I've not been a fan of this one at all, considering the charter's only 12 pages long and she can't quote it.
Yeah.
Is that the council does not direct the city manager on how to manage this. They don't tell her, you appoint so-and-so, you hire, you. That's a violation of the charter. And yet they're telling her, you come back with this. And it takes 4 council members to get something on the agenda. And that's what she was saying is, you know what? I don't answer to you, mayor. I answer to the council.
And yeah, just not one at a time.
Yeah, I mean, this council is so out of control, and they don't understand their roles. And that's because they blurred their own lines with changing the municipal code. You know, they were their own worst enemy.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, you know, if anybody wants to see the complete and unabashed dysfunction of the San Bernardino City Council and mayor, you have to watch last night's. It is the epitome of how not to be a council. It is a poster child for everything not to do as an elected body.
Right.
Literally. It is that bad. Yeah, from dead cats to Brown Act to, you know,
let's know.
It was not good. And then at the end of everything, we come to find out that John left the dais and he was still angry.
Yep.
And what did he do?
He went in the hallway and cussed out Fred. And Fred and him went back and forth. This was a carryover. So we were watching the end of the night. And Fred tells him, hey, you're not the king. He says the city manager answers to the council. And John leans over and says, you're a fucking asshole, Fred. Just like he always does. This is what
he did?
Yes, it's there. Because watch.
I didn't see that.
Just catch it, because that's when John leans into Fred and Fred tells him, you know, fuck you. Like, that's what they. So then from what the witnesses are saying is that Fred's walking to get out and John's step to step with him. And then Fred goes to turn and John yells at me like, did you just bump me? And Fred's like, I didn't touch you. And he's like, fuck you. Like, just back and back and back. And Fred is not backing down. And then John, I guess, says to Fred, I'm coming after you. In March, you're done. Like, something like that.
In March? He's not even running for re-election.
Well, that's what I said. I was like, Fred, what are you doing in March? You know, like, what has Fred got going on? But the thing is that I think, you know, John believes that he's going to get keep his counsel and he's going to go after, you know, they want to get rid of Jim Mulvihill. And what I found out is there's two people, Damon Alexander and this Molinarski guy, are both.
Yeah, and both of them are lame and neither one of them should be elected. And as lame as Jim Mulvihill is, he's probably still better than those two put together.
Yeah, well, they're both in John's camp. Molinarski just hired Chris Jones, who's a consultant.
And I live in the 7th Ward. I don't want either one of those two motherfuckers representing me. Nice. I don't even want Mulvihill representing me, but I will still put up with Mulvihill over their two asses. Seriously. That's how bad they are.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's that.
Well, it's, you know, threats and, you know, you can see what's happening when now other council members are seeing their independence. They overturn the 5-minute speaking rule. They're voting semi-independently at times. I think they're still puppets. I know that should they win their re-election, that they're going to just jump on board. It's going to be all hell's going to break loose all over again.
I thought it was really interesting how they're recycling former council members into commissioners.
Oh my God.
What is that about?
Because John wants Benito to run against Sandra. He wants Sandra
but
gone.
But Benito was not useful. And all he did was sell his AR-15 from the dais. There's nothing. He had accomplished nothing. Poor guy. You know what? Nice guy. You know, completely useless.
Yep.
No, what are you going to do? At least Sandra's trying to understand.
Right. Well, people need to stay aware. They need to it's not so much like I thought about this today. These elections are not only about getting rid of John's puppets. There's also the future of the city at stake for hiring. The next council's going to hire the new city clerk, the new city attorney, and the new city manager. That's the three highest appointed positions in the
city. That can't be the case.
And these people can't do it. Absolutely not.
They can't do that because unless they win out. No, there's a runoff. They can't. They're not going to. March is the end of the term, isn't it? Or is it next November?
It is March. But you still, if it sticks, it sticks. I mean, if these people, if there isn't a runoff and they win outright, they get their 50+1, then they get to, because you have to go out for recruitment. And recruitment's not going to, unless they recruit starting in January, they're not going to get anybody in March.
That's true. I think they've already waited too long. And you know what? If John continues in this direction with the city manager, I don't think she's going to stick it out. She doesn't have to. She already has the salary increase, so she doesn't have to wait another 18 months or 10, 12 months, whatever. She can be now at the same scale.
No, well, at the same scale, but she needs another probably, I think, 9 months to get her full year. All she needs is 12 months. They gave her an 18-month contract. So
that still cuts the 18 months in half.
So, well, she gets June. And if she gets to June of next year, then she's made her 12th. And she could leave early. She could definitely take off 6 months early, which I assume will probably happen. But if there's a few more council meetings like this, she might just, like, give the middle finger and walk out.
Exactly. And sue the city and probably win. Because, again, this is he treated Andrea the same. Like, this thing with women. He treats Gigi this way, you know, all of that. And so I think, you know, at the end of the day, if you treat staff this way too, these ladies should all get together and file against him and have him, you know, for harassment.
Oh, for yeah. Sure. Yes. And you know what? There are so many people who have had the same complaint that I don't see why they don't come together and stand up and just say, look, this is
amazing how people are so afraid.
Yeah, I don't understand it. I don't know why you're afraid of this guy or what you think he has power to do. He's a nothing. If he had any power, he wouldn't have to act like a petulant child.
Exactly.
had any type of authority, people would listen to him. They wouldn't fight him. Leaders, this is not a leader. This is a wannabe. John Valdivia is a wannabe. He's a joke. He's the punk.
Again, I would really encourage people to watch last night's meeting, because it really exemplifies everything that is wrong with the city and its governance right now, and why we need to change the people that are there now. No incumbent that's running this year in 2020, coming up in 2020, should be reelected. I don't care.
Except for Jim Mulderhill. Except for Jim Mulderhill. That's the only incumbent that we can keep on this committee right now. We're on the council.
Yeah. So. Well, I think that, you know, that's a lot for everyone to kind of chew on for now.
Yes.
So let's see what people think. You know, we don't get a lot of comments, but it'd be nice to hear. What do you think about what we're sharing with you? And would you like to see us cover, talk about for our next few podcasts?
We want the community involved. And if you guys want more shorter or you like the longer, let us know. We're definitely, this is real talk for San Bernardino. So we appreciate the feedback.
Totally. All right, Treasure. Great talking with you guys again. Thanks, everyone, for listening. San Bernardino, folks, please keep it real.
Night, San Bernardino.
Good night.